Let's turn to Isaiah 61. Isaiah, I've been reading through, reading through the Bible this year, and a couple months ago I was reading through Isaiah, and God was, really working things in my life, and this chapter really stood out to me, and I decided to kind of base my message off of this chapter. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Let's pray. God, thank you for this message that you placed on my heart this morning. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the life that it brings. Thank you for the sword of truth that it is. Thank you for the direction that we receive from your word. God, I pray that as we dive into this message, Lord, into looking at these things, God, that you've shown me, God, and that now you want to show the church this morning, God, I pray that your spirit, God, would go before us, Lord, that you would be here working and ministering the word to every heart. God, I pray against distractions. I pray against anything that the enemy would like to do. God, I pray that your word would have its way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Isaiah 61 is God's calling on Isaiah's life in a time of real darkness. If you read Isaiah, there's so much going on. It's a time of a lot of terrible stuff happening. And God is calling out to Isaiah. He's calling him, placing this call on Isaiah's life to preach liberty to the captives. At that time, there were Jews captive in Babylon. And this was Isaiah's call from God. This is also a prophecy, a typology pointing forward to the life of Jesus. We know this from Luke chapter 4. Jesus had just been tempted after his time in the wilderness, his fasting, that the devil had tempted Jesus, and he just finishes with that, and he walks into the temple, and I just want to read some verses here in Luke chapter 4. It says, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out fame of him through all the region round about. and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." So we see from that that Jesus is clearly saying that this is a prophecy of my life. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus was saying that. Jesus came to this earth with that mission. Jesus came to bind broken hearts, to preach good tidings unto the meek. This was God's call. This was Jesus' call. So as we read Isaiah 61, worship and thankfulness should well up within us as we recognize that Jesus has come. He's absolutely showered us with these blessings. As we just look down through Isaiah 61, we see, "Sent me to preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted." We ever feel brokenhearted? Jesus came to bind broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Are we ever in captivity? Jesus came to bring liberty. Are we bound in things? Are there things binding us? Jesus came to open the prison, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Are we mourning? God wants to comfort us. Let's worship God for what he's done. As Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he lived his life pouring out and touching others. He lived healing those, like working miracles and healing so many people who were, had so many needs, and Jesus was just constantly pouring out and touching. We see so clearly that that was Jesus' calling, and he was doing that. He did that when he was here on the earth. We could just continue to look into what God has done and praise him for it, and that would be good and fine, but I want to take this and look at it from a slightly different angle, bring things a little bit closer to home, maybe. We could ask the question, what is our place in this, or where do we fit into this prophecy? I want to turn to John 17. John chapter 17, this is the high priestly prayer. Jesus praying towards the end of his ministry here, praying for his disciples, praying to his Father. And verse chapter 4, Jesus says this. He says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Jesus is praying to his Father, and he's saying, "God, you have given me this work, and I've finished it." And truly, Jesus touched many lives while he was here on the earth. But we could ask the question, really, Jesus? Like, we see this prophecy in Isaiah 61 about how Jesus is here to do all these things, to bind up broken hearts, and there's so many more around the world. There's so many more hurting people. There's so many more that haven't found healing. There's so many people that have still not even heard of Jesus, and Jesus is saying, "I've finished the work that you gave me to do." But as we keep reading, we see what Jesus is talking about. He says, In verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then farther down in verse 18, Jesus says this, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You see that Jesus did fulfill the calling that God had placed on his life. And he did that how? He did that by getting the message across to this group of disciples, by showing them what his calling was. And now he's sending them out. He's saying, I've prepared them. They've got it. And now, Father, as you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus is passing on the calling that God placed on his life, that was on his life as he was in the world. As Jesus was in this world giving healing and freedom and salvation, he gives that same ministry to his followers. And so as we ask the question, where do we fit into this? I think that answers that question. We could look at a couple more verses, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, called to be witnesses of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And so, there again, we see that Jesus has handed off this ministry to his church, to his followers. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador represents the one that he's been called to represent. We've been called to represent Christ. We've been called to walk in this. We continue the work that Jesus started. So quick recap. Isaiah 61 is God's calling on Isaiah, which is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. And we as Jesus followers have been given Jesus' ministry, which means that you and I have a part to play in the fulfillment of this prophecy. So I'd like to turn back to Isaiah 61 and read some of these verses again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Let's look more closely at the end of verse 3. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Who are they? Who are these trees of righteousness, this planting of the Lord? Well, first of all, it's you and me. We are these trees of righteousness. We are the fruit of Jesus' ministry. The only reason any of us are here today in this church is because God came down to this world 2,000 years ago and died on a cross and lived his life preaching good tidings. He lived this life, his life, opening the prison. And he's opened those prison doors to us. And so we are those trees of righteousness. We are the planting of the Lord. We as redeemed people are the planting of the Lord. But as we think about this from the perspective that we also have been given the Spirit and called of God to this ministry, we can also think about this planting of the Lord as the lives that God wants to touch through us as we join him in this ministry. So it's twofold. It's the work God wants to do in our lives and the work God wants to do through us in touching those around us. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Are we being trees of righteousness? And are we at work nurturing other trees of righteousness? Are we being the planting of the Lord? Are we working in God's planting? Right here in my message is where I'd really like to have all your attention. If you don't get anything else from this message, I hope you get this part, because this is really close to home for me. These were things that God was working in my heart this summer as I wrestled through some really dark times personally. And I knew when I was asked to preach that this was the message God wanted me to share with you. And so my prayer is that God would open up your eyes here, at least in part, to what God showed me in my personal times of communion with him. So I'd like us to picture our lives, or the lives of those who God has called us to reach out to, as a field or a garden. If we would picture our lives as a field or as a garden, what would we see? Just think about that for a little bit. What do we see in that? What we see in that garden? Austin, can you put the picture back up again? Okay, sorry. That's fine. So what would we see? What would we see in our lives? Would we see trees of righteousness? Would we see the planting of the Lord growing? What would we see? Maybe we would see some thorns. Maybe we'd see some weeds. Another question we could ask is, what does God see when he looks at my life? It's easy when we look at our life just to kind of compare ourselves with those around us. But what does God see when he looks at our life? Clicker's not. There it is. Maybe it looks something like this. You know, when I was looking at my life, this is kind of what I felt. I know there was good things going on in my life, but as God was putting his finger on my heart, this is kind of what I was seeing in my life. You see a lot of thorns, you see a lot of weeds, maybe not a lot of trees of righteousness. Maybe it's not the whole field or garden of our lives. Maybe it's just a corner. It's just a part of your life. Maybe it's something God reminds you of in times of repentance and prayer, and yet it seems like even when you try, the change is minimal, and you soon fall back into discouragement or neglect in that area. I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. When I read these verses in my devotions a couple months ago, I felt like God was telling me in many ways that was me. That was my life. Areas of my life that God wanted me to change. Callings that God had placed on my life that I had all but neglected. I knew I had these areas of my life that I wasn't really dealing with, but I was just kind of trying to avoid them. Just kind of focus on the good things and just go on with life. How would these thorns and nettles and briars affect us? Talks about this garden here in Proverbs 24 was all grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face thereof. I don't know how much experience you've all had with thorns, but since being in Mexico, I have developed a much deeper respect for them. Almost every plant has thorns on them in Mexico. There's very few trees without thorns. Almost all trees have thorns, and there's just thorns everywhere. Even if you're wearing shoes, you're not safe. There's just massive thorns that'll go right up through the soles of your shoes. Seems like no matter what, you're just bound to get stabbed with a thorn sometime or another. I love going barefoot in the grass. There's nothing like a really well-tended field that you can just take your shoes off and run and play spike ball or dive and slide around. And it's just this nice grass. It feels so good. There's no thorns. You take that same field and stick some thorns in there, it's a totally different story. Nobody wants to have to deal with thorns. Here's, let me go ahead and picture some thorns. Here's some nettle. So the face of this garden was overgrown with nettle. You guys ever touch stinging nettle? It's one of the worst things. It's terrible. I remember one time I threw a disc at Buck Miller into like a patch of stinging nettle, and I almost didn't get my disc because it's hardly worth it. Stuff's terrible. Think about that. Nobody wants the job of needing to go pull out stinging nettle. Maybe you get like a space suit or something. It wouldn't be too bad, but just seems like you're bound to get stung with it, and nobody wants to have to go pull out stinging nettle. The next verse we're going to look at talks about briars. Have you ever been hiking at a place where there's just a ton of briars? One place I went hiking in Mexico, there's just briars everywhere, and came back just with scratches, my neck and face and arms, just scratches everywhere. Have you ever been walking past a briar and then all of a sudden there's you're snagged four different places on your clothes and in your hand, and you have to pick out all these snags before you can keep going? Nobody likes getting snagged by briars. Some briars. But you know, how often are these things in our life like these thorns and these nettles and these briars? They prick us and sting us and snag us. They rob us of our power and prayer. They deprive us of our authority over the enemy. Spiritual battles arise. When we want to have the authority to resist the devil, we feel powerless as we see the lack of victory in our own lives. They keep us back from running the race that God has for us. You try to run and you've got thorns, or briars, or stinging nettle. Nobody wants to go running through that. What does God want to see? I think over time, it's easy for us to kind of stop pursuing the change that God wants to bring about in our lives. We've tried to pull those thorns out, but it's just too hard. Maybe we gave up after getting stung by the stinging nettle too many times. It kind of bothers us. We wish we didn't struggle like we did, but at least my thorn patch isn't as big as Brother So-and-so's, you know. Maybe we just start settling for making sure it doesn't get out of control. Like, well, as long as I keep it out of this area of my life, just stays in this corner, I'll be okay. Picture your life without those thorns. Imagine, what would it be like to have victory in those areas? Maybe it's a habit, an addiction you can't seem to overcome. Maybe it's a rocky relationship that you know you aren't handling well. Maybe it's an inability to develop spiritual disciplines in your life. I don't know what it is for you. What would it be like to no longer be held back by those things? Just think about that. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 55. No, I'm sorry, let's go to Isaiah 32 first. Isaiah 32, verse 13 to 18. It says, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Here again, we see a picture of an overgrown field that God needs to change. These thorns and overgrown, and there's just like horses running around, and there's just nothing really good there. Look what he says next. He says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 to 13. These verses are my personal favorite. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 6. Is that right? Yes. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I had sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It was about a month ago, I read these verses in my personal devotions. I was just utterly blown away. God had really been putting his finger on some of these things in my life that he wanted to change. I was feeling pretty overwhelmed, just weary of dealing with these thorns in my life, seeing these things and just wanting to get rid of these thorns. And then I read this. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Truly God's ways are higher than ours. I was aspiring to get rid of the thorns in my life. God convicted me again. I realized I wasn't even seeing the half of it. God wanted to plant fir and myrtle trees in my life. Instead of these thorns, getting rid of the thorns was just the tip of the iceberg. If we study into fir and myrtle trees a little bit, picture gets even better. Some fir trees. There's a myrtle tree. Both of these trees are evergreen. He never leaves their green. When all other trees are dead, these trees are green. Douglas fir is highly sought after for building because of its resistance to the elements. It's good looking. It's solid wood for some building situations. Myrtle trees, not only are they beautiful, but they make essential oils out of them. The essential oils from the myrtle tree is good for respiratory problems and healing. So God's saying, where there's these thorns in your life, these briars in your life, I want to put fir trees there. I want to plant myrtle trees. I want your life to be a beautiful garden. I want it to be something that can impact others, that it would be for the healing of others. I'd like to challenge us to reevaluate where we have our sights set. Sometimes I really wonder what God wants to do in and through our lives that we're just totally missing because we're just stuck in the rut of keeping our briar patch under control. God tries to place a calling on our life, and we're like, God, you see this problem I have. We gotta keep working on that. I'm just gonna keep trying to deal with this problem or this sin. And God's saying, I wanna take that, and I wanna plant fir and myrtle trees. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 61 again. Is it verse 3? Is it to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. They shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So maybe we could ask the question, how is the planting of the Lord growing in my life? Is God being glorified? Another way this verse could be translated is to display his glory. that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. God wants our lives to put him on display. He wants our lives to be testimonies for his glory. Are we allowing him to till the garden of our lives? Are we allowing him to remove the thorns and plant the trees that he wants to? Then the last verse, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. This prophecy is going to be fulfilled. God is going to have his planting of the Lord. God is going to spring forth righteousness and praise before all the nations. He's going to raise up his standard. There's no doubt about that. The doubt is, am I going to be a part of that? That is a question. Are you and I going to be a part of that? Is my life going to be a tree of righteousness? Or am I going to let God do this through others? Am I going to let myself be left out of this? Am I going to let God make my life a display of his character? Only God knows exactly what this message means for you. Maybe there's a calling that God's placed on your life. There's a fir or myrtle tree God wants to plant. Maybe he's just waiting for you to step out in obedience to his call. Maybe this message isn't so much about your own life. Maybe it's that God wants you to join him in the work he's doing in the life of someone else. Maybe you can identify with the man in Proverbs. Maybe your life's grown over with thorns and briars. It's trying to overrun your life. Maybe God's waiting for you to get serious about those. Waiting for you to get serious about finding help, finding victory. I like to make things as practical as I can. This time, I'm not actually going to tell you what I think God wants you to do. I think if God's convicted you of an area of your life that he wants to change, I'd like to challenge you to get real with God about it. God will show you what you need to do and how he wants you to change as you continue to seek him and walk in obedience. The first step in change is for us to see where we've gone wrong and to aspire once again to what God is trying to do. And so there's so many practical things that I pray that God will show us in time and how we need to change. And yet, right now, my challenge is, if God is placing a vision on your life, if God is pointing out thorns and briars in your life, get serious with God about that. I'd like to turn again to Isaiah chapter 55. Finish by reading this scripture. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Maybe you're wondering if it's too late. I've been there. What does this say? Let the wicked forsake his way. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And our God, he will abundantly pardon. These are promises. There's no doubt that there's hope for every person, no matter what situation they're in. There's no doubt. It's impossible to be at a place where God cannot pardon us and save us and set us free. So take courage. God is a God of mercy. Keep reading, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So what is the means that God is going to use to bring change, to bring fruit? It's God's word. And so that's one thing I'd like to challenge us with. So it's the only thing it specifically mentions here is a specific thing that God is going to use. It's his word. God promises that his word shall not return to him void. We cannot overestimate the impact it would have on our lives to saturate ourselves in the word of God. Meditate on it, study it, memorize it, pray it. God's word brings forth fruit. Keep reading. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. God, we come before your presence, Lord. God, we thank you for your promises, Lord. God, we thank you that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. God, we thank you that you have a calling and a plan. You have fir and myrtle trees, God, that you want to bring forth in each of our lives. God, there's not one of us, God, that you don't want to bring forth our lives into a beautiful garden. So God, we thank you for that calling and that plan, those thoughts that you have towards us. God, we pray that we would be faithful. God, we pray that every person here would see that, God. Maybe it's just that little corner of their lives. But God, I pray that whatever it is, God, that we would catch that vision, Lord, and that we would get serious with where we're at, get serious about sin, get serious about your call, get serious about living to display your glory. God, I pray that none of us would put this off. God, that if there are things we need to do, God, we would do them, Lord. Change our hearts, God. Work among us, Lord. May we be workers in your call. As you called Isaiah, and as you came in that calling, and as you have now called us, I pray that we would enter into that, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.